I would like to say a few words tonight from the beginning of the sixth chapter book of Judges. And this is dealing with Gideon. And you remember that the Israelites had been overrun by the Midianites. And they had taken all of their livestock, they had taken the fruit of their field, and had left them very impoverished. And Gideon himself was thrashing wheat by the wine press to be hid from the Midianites so they wouldn't find him with the thrashing of the wheat. And the 11th verse said, "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak," which was an oakry that pertained unto Joash. Joash, the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon thrashed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And as I was reading that and noticed, he said that this angel sat under an oak. And I'd just like to think about that for a few moments this evening. An oak, a tree, and especially an oak tree, represents a place where you can rest. I don't know about you, but I was raised on a farm. And many of the time when we would become very hot from the heat of the day, we'd take a few moments. You notice there's a difference in the tree and a rock. A rock is something that is used oftentimes to describe the Lord because it goes on and on. A tree may live several hundred years and then die. But I think that the oak represents to me in this particular case, and I want you to look at Gideon, and that he said, "Now, we know that the Lord has delivered Israel, delivered them from the land of Egypt, blessed them to take and inhabit the land of Canaan." But he began to wonder about the Lord because of their impoverished condition that they were in now. And Gideon asked the angel, said, "Where be all his miracles?" I think that's an experience that you and I have from time to time. We see the miracles of God, not only among His people, but in our own lives. And then we sort of come on hard times. It seems like we don't know which way to turn. And we may be very prone to say, "Lord, we know You've delivered us and You've delivered Your people. But where are Your miracles now? We need them now." And that's basically what Gideon was saying. But the angel said that the people would be delivered by the hand of Gideon. But Gideon said something else, and he said, "Will you wait here?" And then he went and brought an offering, and he said he brought it to him under the oak and presented it. And as we began to notice the message of the deliverance of the Lord's people was precious in the ears of Gideon. It was so precious to him that he had decided that he wanted to make an offering. And he brought an offering. I think that's a good lesson for each of us. As we hear of the deliverance of the Lord's people, and whether it be the deliverance that we read about in the 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah, or any other of the deliverances that come unto His people, when He said, comfort ye, my people, saith your God, speak ye comfort down to Jerusalem. For I unto her that her warfare is accomplished, her iniquities are pardoned, and she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins." That's a wonderful deliverance, and I believe that the Lord's child today, that it's a comfort, as it would be under an oak tree, coming in from the toil and activity of the time and the heat of the day, to hear again of the deliverance of the Lord's people. It's a wonderful message. We've been hearing it during this wonderful weekend of meeting. We heard it last weekend at the Mount Zion Association. And you begin to notice if you go into the Bible and you see the rejoicing of the Lord's people as they heard the message of the deliverance of the Lord's people from sin and iniquity into the wonderful and delightful embrace of God. And whether it be Saul, who later became Paul, and you remember that he was sent. The one in the street who was called Straight, the one Ananias, and Ananias laid his hand upon him, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even God, who appeared to me on the way, hath also appeared unto me." I believe he had a little time under this oath, because it was refreshing to him to know that the God that had struck him down on the road to Damascus, the God that he had to ask, "Who art thou, Lord?" had appeared to an old servant and told him and given him the same message, an old servant that had, was afraid of Saul of Tarsus. But I want you to notice something. We have an old saying at home: a person never made a crop sitting under the shade of an oak tree. And you know the reason for that was is that you had to get out of the sun. And the toil and the activity, there were things that were necessary to do in order to plant the crop, to work the crop, and to harvest the crop. You couldn't just hear about the Lord's deliverance at all times. And the Lord today has let us know that we're not just to hear the message of grace, we're to get out and to do the things the Lord has instructed us to do and has given us the talents and the abilities to do, and He's told us how to do it to multiply. And you remember the parable of the sower. And have it some fell on good ground and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Let us know that it's important that it be a barrier of food. And I would submit to you that in our country today, one of the biggest problems that we have, even among the old Baptists, is those who understand and know about the deliverance of the Lord and how that He's delivered His people from sin with His death upon the cross, but are unconcerned about what's necessary to be done to get out under the shade of the tree for a little while and to work in the vineyards of the Lord. And the sweat and the toil of what the Lord will bless them to have. Because I think oftentimes, and I don't know how it is up here, but I rather suspect it's the same way that we have people at home. And so oftentimes they're brethren who are raising young families that go and sit under the shadow of the oak and to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they believe it and they rejoice in it. But they just want to keep on listening at it without going out and planting any of the seed that the Lord's given them to plant. To begin to bear the influence that they need to bear as an example of the great miracles of God's love. And so we set the sun under the oak tree. And that's the reason the old folks had a saying. You couldn't make a good crop sitting under the shadow of the tree. You've got to get out the time. Doesn't mean the Lord won't let you return. Well, you take on Jesus there. He went off. He performed some work, he got the offering, he come back and presented an offering, because, brethren, we have somewhat to offer. He told us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. But I want you to notice that there are those that are given to us in the New Testament Scriptures to let us know that when they heard and they had the comfort of a message that the Lord would save and had saved and would save and had delivered and would deliver, that they went about the Master's business immediately. The Apostle Paul was one of those. He didn't tell Ananias, that Ananias, I believe that I need to wait about 6 months and learn more about this. I need to hear you preach a few times. Oh, it's wonderful to me. I felt the comfort that was in it. No, it tells us that as the scales fell from his eyes and he was able to see, he was immediately baptized. I would that all the Lord's children, when they've had a few moments under the oak, the Lord has delivered the sweet message of grace, and they understand that what the Lord has done for them, that they would go immediately into baptism. The Lord, as the Apostle Paul tells us later, and he said, "I preached unto you those things which are also first heard, how that Christ of the children of God, wherever they were in the world, he continued to repeat the things that he also first heard. And let us know that not only was it a comfort to the Apostle Paul, it's a comfort today in our day and age to the Lord's little child. I recall I mentioned a brother over in the eastern part of our state who recently joined the church, the state of Georgia, and to hear him tell his experience and to tell about how that he came to have an understanding of the doctrine of grace, and he and his wife and some of his immediate family began to study. And after he was excommunicated from the people that he was identified with because they did not want him teaching the security of God's people, they didn't want him to be called among his people, he was a minister with them. Said he had to be, because he was a minister, he had to be excommunicated on the state level rather than on the local level. Brother, I'll tell you right now, you can get a lot of government in the church. We need to remember the government's upon the law. And you know, when he said, his overseer told him, he said, I know exactly what's wrong with you. He said, you've been listening to this Messiah Bradley Jr. on Sunday nights. And he said, he asked him, he said, who is Messiah Bradley? He had never heard of him. I tell you what it was, brother. He hadn't been listening to Messiah Bradley. He'd been under the authority of the Lord and revealed unto him those things that were precious in his sight. And when he revealed them to him, brother, he wanted to do something about it. And today, brother, we need to do something about it. When we understand and know the doctrine of grace, it's time to be about the master's business. Philip joined himself to the chariot of the eunuch. When the eunuch said, Philip said, if you understand this, I want thy readings. And the eunuch said, how can I accept some man guide me? Bible says that Philip began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Brother, that was an Old Testament scripture. From the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah about the lamb gone before his shearers and it off to the slaughter and gone before his shearers. When old Philip preached to him, and when he came, they came to a body of water, and the eunuch said, here is water, what will hinder me from being baptized? But he wanted to get out to get them under the oath, but he knew there was something else to do. And he stepped out there to be baptized and began to live the kind of life that he ought to live here in the world. And I want to tell you right now, you can go with the Apostle Peter to the house of Cornelius. And when they were able for a few moments to be under the oath, they were baptized immediately. You could go get many experiences along the road in the scriptures and find they got out. In other words, there's some planning to do. There's some things to do. That's the reason why the writer said, cast thy bread upon the waters, that it may be returned to you after many days. To let us know. And the book of the first Psalm of David, he said, a man to be like a tree. And so there's going to be a tree. You know what a tree is, brother? A tree is one that favors many generations. A tree don't necessarily pass when our life does pass. When we build our house out at home, I went out in the edge of the field out there in the woods, and I picked out the kind of trees that were only in our front yard. And I picked out this big white oak that's grown in the last 30 years. It's grown to double the size. But I picked out, I said, I want this oak. It takes a long time to grow an oak, brother. I tell you, you need to be careful. I want to tell you what. The things we've heard under the gospel oath are everlasting things. They're things without the everlasting love of God. How about we pick those old oaks and there happened to be one right growing in the living room? I want to tell you that old bulldozer, I thought he never was going to get down to the last of those roots because it was rooted. And I want you to know, brethren, the things you believe, the things that are most truly believed among us are rooted, brethren, in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's the foundation of it. I tell you, that's not a power in all the world for to be able to uproot the Lord. Or the message, that even the message that God has given us. But I want to return again and again to the comfort that there is when I hear again the message how that Christ has delivered his people. How when he said on the tree of the cross, it's finished, and my Lord knew exactly what he was talking about. I need to go down again and again when I'm feeling discouraged so When it seems like the heat of the day becomes just a little too much, I will return to the old shade tree again and just say, Lord, just tell me again. Just let me know again. Let me meditate on how you love the people and how you deliver them from sin and iniquity and how you deliver them from the grave some sweet day into the bright and glorious realities of heaven. I need to hear it again and again. Brother, I want to tell you right now, I believe we need to hear it every day of our lives. We need to hear it all over to the end of the journey. I read over the book of 2 Kings where the Lord had determined that he'd take Elijah up into heaven. He passed from Gilgal to Elisha. Gilgal, you remember, that's where the stones were put when the children of Israel took the stones out of the bottom of the sea. When the Lord delivered them over the river of Jordan and Gilgal, I believe the Lord took over Elijah right by the sea. Again, the miracles of God. I need to see it again and again. And as I come to the Lord, and many of us come to the Lord to say, in Son of Life, I want to see it again and again. But he said, the Lord said, I must go to Bethel. Brethren, I believe there are Bethel spots in our lives. I believe that when we return to the Bethel spots of our lives, it may have been the day you were baptized. It may have been the day that you first felt and understood the truths of God, or first felt the handiwork of God in your own life. Whatever it was, brethren, there are Bethel spots. They belong to you. Our Lord blessed old Elijah when he was coming to his last hours here upon the earth to return to the Bethel spot of his life. He said, I must go to Bethel. And then he said, I must go to Jericho. Jericho, you know, was a place where the Lord delivered his people and tore down the walls of Jericho, which showed not only the great power of God, but the obedience of his people. I believe God's people should be an obedient people. I tell you, our Lord was obedient unto death. Your Lord and mine, in that cruel cross, on that cruel cross, I was willing to pour out his very life for us, praying. I believe this is incumbent upon us and important for us to live our life in honor to him. I believe, brethren, we do that by working the grave of fields that he's given us to work, by being busy in the kingdom of God. I believe when he lets us return again and again under the walls to remember, oh, like John said when he's in prison, he said, is this the Messiah? Should we look for another? He said, go and show John again these things. I need to see him again and again. I'm a forgetful boy. Oh, I need to be reminded again and again. I love to hear my wife say, I love you. And she told me that 46 years ago, the wedding is just as sweet today as it was then. I believe that we need to tell one another how much we love each other. Or you say, well, that brother knows that I love him. Brother, I tell you right now, it's good to hear it, isn't it? It is wonderful to hear it. I want to hear again about the love of God. I want to hear again how that his love is from an everlasting love. How has the brother said, he loves me for one of us. That is from his eternal side. He's going to bring us all to that bright and glorious realities of heaven after a while. But I want to tell you right now, to let us know how important it is. The Lord said, Elijah told Elisha again, he said, you stay here, but Elisha wouldn't stay. He said, I must go to Jordan. Brother, I want to tell you again, the dark, the day never gets too dark, the night never becomes too dark at all. The day doesn't become too hard. But I'll go back to that little stream where I was baptized, where I felt the relief of my soul, that I've done a little something that the Lord has told me to do. Brother, I haven't always done it with you. No, I haven't always done it. I made many mistakes along the road of life. Many hardships have come my way as a result of mistakes I've made. But that's one thing for sure. I don't believe I made a mistake. When I presented myself to the old church and was baptized there, brother said, he'd been over 51 years. My dad baptized him. He baptized me 50 years ago, the first weekend in August. I won't tell you how he got part of it yet. I'll tell you tonight. If you haven't been baptized, you need this. It's not only a Bethel spot. It's a place you go from time to time. You need to go on the journey of life, and if you love the Lord and have been baptized, you ought to go. May the Lord bless you.
It occurred to me that how true it is that the Bible tells us that there is a rest for the people of God. But in order for us to really have that rest, we have to labor to enter into that rest. There's something for the children of God to do. You can count on it. God's going to do what He said He'd do. And He'll give us grace for us to do what He told us to do. But it's our duty to do what He told us to do. And use His grace to do it. There may be one here tonight, maybe several. You haven't done that, but you know it's right on the side of God. You say, well, maybe I'll do it someday when I get to feeling more like I can. You don't have someday. You've got today. You don't even have tomorrow. And what a wonderful thing it is to come up out of the water and to have your conscience cleansed. Baptism doesn't take away the filth of the flesh, but it gives us an answer of a good conscience towards God. I tell you, you're not going to get that answer until you are baptized. And when you are baptized, you will get that answer. You can count on it. You'll have an answer of a good conscience towards God. Feel like, well, I'm not worthy, and I'm one of the least ones in the kingdom, and all that. God's not interested in big folks. He's chosen the weak things of the world.
Amen.
The things that are not mighty. The little things. The things that have no strength. The base things. God makes strange choices compared to our choices. But you see, when He takes the little things, the base things, and things that are despised of this world, and uses that to His glory, that it all, the glory, goes to God Himself. You don't have the strength in yourself to do many things. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us, the Apostle Paul said, without Christ, we can do nothing. But also He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You can be obedient to God. You can take up your cross. You can be baptized. And you can enjoy the kingdom of God. But you need to make that decision for yourself. A lot of emphasis put on decisions, but I didn't enjoy it till I decided. I'd go see if that happened. I felt like they had good reason to turn me down when I got up there. But I said, if they do, I haven't lost anything because I don't have anything to lose. But if they have me, I would have everything to gain. And I can tell you this tonight from my own personal testimony. There have been some times that I've been discouraged in the service of God. There have been some times that I've had to come through that were not pleasant, but God brought me through it. There have been times that I have been able to be lifted up, I think, to the top of the highest mountain. But I'm going to tell you something. With the trials, the difficulties, the discouragements, the joys, and all of it, if I had it to do over, I'd do it all again. Because I found something in the service of God that you cannot find in this world. There is something to this. I can't do it for you. I can't describe it to you. But you can do it and you can feel it. And I encourage you tonight, if you're here, take up your cross and follow Jesus Christ. Let's sing a hymn. We're going to shake hands again. Nothing wrong with that. Not as many people here tonight as there was earlier. It won't take quite as long to get through the handshake. But there's just something about reaching out your hand to your brother and your sister, embracing them and saying, I love you. I believe the same thing you do. we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Let me tell you, that element of love expressed in a warm handshake and a gentle embrace means a lot to the children of God. Let's never get to the point where we're so formal that we can't tell each other we love and shake their hands and wish them well and pray for them. Let's sing 126, I think is come to my mind that Brother Guy has told the story of Jesus again. Love to hear that story told over and over. And this hymn expresses that in so beautiful words. Let's sing 126. We publish an open door to the churches for a section of memory.